Mr. New York, Mark Simone on WOR.
Well, it's practically the 4th of July and it's the middle of summer. It's, can you believe this mess? Well, what's the latest? When do we go to phase, whatever is next? And, we'll get to Mayor de Blasio, this hapless, bumbling fool. We'll get to Governor Cuomo, who is also responsible for this mess we're in. We'll get to President Trump. We'll get to Joe Biden and that weekend at Bernie's routine they pulled off yesterday. We'll go over that press. It wasn't really a press conference, we'll explain. And now what's the latest? There's going to be an announcement at some point today, Joe Bartlett, about the next phase.
I'm pretty sure it's not going to happen.
Really? We're supposed to go to indoor dining on Monday, but they may hold back on that. I don't think most people, it's important for the restaurants, but I don't think most people want to eat inside right now. As long as the weather's good, it's safer. It just feels better to eat outside. New Jersey, it's delayed. New Jersey, now the only thing is, Long Island and Westchester have been on indoor dining for, well over a week. Is it 2 weeks or 1 week? I think it's 2 weeks. And there's certain, I don't want to mention any names, but there's certain restaurants on the North Shore of Long Island that are quite the hot spot. And they put millions of outdoor tables into the parking lot. They put 40, 50 tables. But it's a part of Long Island where everybody's pushing and shoving and they all want a table. And I've seen a video of it. It's really crowded and packed. I mean, they're packed in there tight and people are wandering around talking to everybody, no masks on or any. So let's see if there's an outbreak. So far, it's been over a week, no outbreak as a result. Last Saturday night in Southampton, I saw a video of this. They closed down the main street. They allowed all the restaurants to put tables out in the street. But it's that crazy Southampton. So they added DJs and dancers, and they had dancing in the middle. And it looked pretty packed. And again, that crowd loves to mingle. They're all walking around from table to table with the masks either off or down around the neck. What's today? Wednesday? Okay, let's wait a week, 7 days, see if there's any outbreak. And if there isn't, then I guess it's okay to, because they've had indoor dining for a while. So we'll see what happens. Now, the important thing to remember is Tulsa is a fascinating case. President Trump did that indoor rally. And if you look at the video, most people didn't have masks on, and they're inside. And the Secret Service said they wanted 12,000 people coming in inside. There's been not only no spike in Tulsa, numbers are down. I think new cases yesterday, 305. Normally, before the rally, it was in the 400 or 500, so the numbers are down since that Tulsa rally. That's a pretty good sign. So, but you haven't eaten inside yet, have you?
No, there's plenty of outside restaurants, and you know the weather's always nice here, so I'm staying outside for a while.
Again, there's certain things I need to do. One is it's believed that air conditioning, which you need, obviously, in a hot summer day, circulates the air and can circulate the virus around. So I haven't finished the full research on this or what the government's going to advise, but they may want restaurants and offices to put in HEPA filters to remove the virus from the air if it's there. So did you watch the Joe Biden press conference yesterday?
I watched some of it, yeah.
That was amazing. Now, they have a couple of drugs. I'm not kidding about this. They shoot them up with, when you see somebody in that kind of state where they're half dead, half asleep, half demented, you can shoot them up with something that'll bring them to life and get their mind work. And apparently it's only good for an hour or two. You remember, if you're watching the whole press conference, you remember about 20 minutes into it, he kept saying, I got to go. I'm going to get in trouble. I'm late. I got to go. Now, he's a vice president of the United States. He's the Democratic nominee. Who's not going to wait? Where would he have to go that he's going to get in trouble if he's late? I think, because a lot of people are asking, what was that meeting that he kept saying, I got to go. And every time somebody screams, I got to get off. I'm going to be in trouble if I don't get. He kept looking at his watch. I got to go. I think that had to do with the drugs. They told him, you know, you got to be off in 20 minutes or whatever. You remember The Nutty Professor, the movie?
Where
the potion started to wear off and he was still speaking at the dance.
and
all of a sudden he lost his personality because the drug wore off. I think that's what was going on with Joe Biden. Now, it wasn't really a press conference in that it was all scripted. He was reading from a teleprompter and the questions were all staged and planned. They knew who to call on and what the question would be, and the answers were up in the teleprompter. That's why it's quite embarrassing if you watch the whole thing, because you watch Trump. How about you? You know, he just points to somebody. Biden looking at this paper going, all right, who am I supposed to call on here? Where is, and then he'd call on a certain name. They wrote it out, who to call on and in what order. And then he'd read the answers off a teleprompter. They're always pretty nice questions. And nobody would quibble with anything he said. He really went after
statewide
Trump.
Lockdowns that so many Americans lived under for months were intended to buy us time to get our act together. Instead of using that time to prepare ourselves, Donald Trump squandered it.
And what does that mean? Could you explain that, Joe Bartlett? What does that mean?
No, I have no idea what he's saying.
What is he talking about? He squandered it. He had a team working day and night. He got, 500,000 ventilators made, 2 billion masks made. Squandered what? I mean, he got the Javits Center Hospital up. He got the Comfort Hospital ship, whatever anybody needed. He got it to them.
I think what he's saying is that when we had two cases in the United States, we should have shut down the economy.
Yeah, but you gotta, you know, the problem with that, I think in the beginning, Trump didn't know. I didn't know. We didn't know how bad Fauci was. Everybody was listening to Fauci. And remember, Fauci all through January, even at the end of January, said, it's not coming here. Don't worry, it's not coming here. And then you can check on the webpage. We have all the clips. All through February, Fauci was saying, don't lock down. No reason to change our behavior. And into the first 2 weeks of March, Fauci kept saying, don't worry. In the first week of March, he urged people to take a cruise, said it was safe. Second week of March, he said people should go out. They should go to the movies. Remember, I was saying stuff like that. I was wrong. If you were listening to me back then, you said, hey, you said it was going to be nothing. I was listening to Fauci. I used to talk to Fauci. I used to get this stuff from, that's why I was, remember how wrong Bill de Blasio was? Remember he tweeted, oh, yeah. Go to Chinatown, go to the movies. This is like in the second week of March. I guarantee you he was talking to Fauci too. Everybody was getting the wrong information from Fauci. So, and I think Donald Trump was listening to him back then. It took him and everybody else about 8 weeks into the crisis to realize Fauci's always wrong. Stop listening to the guy. Deborah Birx tends to always be much more on target. You got a lot of people, you know, that when you watch the fake news, they always say, the nation's top infectious disease doctor, Anthony Fauci. He's not the nation's top infectious disease doctor by any stretch of the imagination. He's a bureaucrat, career politician, been there 37 years. He's J. Edgar Hoover with a stethoscope. Did you see the hearings yesterday where he would just say anything? Rand Paul tore him apart, called him every name in the world for 10 minutes. And then Fauci's answer was, well, I agree with what you're saying. Yes, it's correct. And then he threw in his own things. But he's such a politician. It's just hard to trust him at all. First, he'll tell you, here's an example.
There is no guarantee, and anyone who's been involved in vaccinology will tell you, that we will have a safe and effective vaccine, but we are cautiously optimistic.
What did he just say? Yes, is that a yes or a no?
It's both.
Now, 2 days ago, you can look this up. Fauci said we will definitely have a vaccine by, I think he said January, but now he's under oath, so it gives you a double talk answer. We're cautiously optimistic. There's no guarantee that we might, but we could. It never gives you a straight answer.
I'm very concerned because it could get very bad.
All right. But I could play you the clips of him in March saying, don't worry, nothing to worry about. Go take a cruise. So, anyway, Biden, and nobody fact checks anything Biden says. If you watch NBC News, the tear apart, if Trump says hello, they dissect it for 10 minutes about how it wasn't right, it wasn't correct. If you watch NBC News last night, they reported and they played the clips of Biden about how terrible Trump was, that he's playing golf while our healthcare workers don't have proper PPE equipment. That's not true. There's no shortage of equipment for our healthcare workers. Never was. It was just fake news reporting that. So he made one mistake. He was told who to call on. The answers were in the teleprompter for him. But I don't know what he was doing. He accidentally, at the end, called on the Fox News guy, who I guess he'd had a problem with before. So when he started talking to the
last
guy,
question, real quick, some have speculated,
you're a lying dog,
that you.
He was about to say you're a lion, dog-faced pony soldier. Remember, he said that. When did he say that? It was to somebody, some reporter once. It turned out it's a quote from John Wayne. And right now, you're not allowed to say John Wayne because they think he's a racist. So they're taking his name off the airport. They're taking down his statue. So it was kind of a mess. It was like a Weekend at Bernie's thing. If you can keep this guy propped up for 40 minutes, that's supposed to qualify him. This guy, this Fox guy, did ask him about his cognitive problem and if he's going to get tested.
All I got to do is watch me, and I can hardly wait to compare my cognitive capability to the cognitive capability of the man I'm running against.
Pretty good, isn't it? Mm-hmm. They must have drilled him for 3 days on how to say cognitive capability. He must have had to practice that over and over and over again. So I heard Len this morning play some Trump gaffes. People have tried to do that. Yeah, a lot of shows have tried to cut together all. Yeah, like we watch MSNBC. Listen to all the Trump gaffes that
he's
made. They
sacrifice every day for the furniture and future of their children. I hope they now go and take a look at the oranges of the investigation.
We appreciate it very much, Tim Apple.
Marilyn Lockheed. Mike Bolton, as you know, is in Russia. Mike Pounds.
Justice Anthony. You know who I'm talking about.
I've heard like Rachel Maddow.
They're pretty funny, aren't they?
Yeah, they're pretty funny, but the thing is, if you cut together all the Trump gaffes, it totals 30 seconds. If you do it with Biden, I've got one that's 17 minutes. I've got one that's 36 minutes. You could literally do this. This is 30 seconds over 4 years. You could do 30 seconds every day of Biden, every single day. And if you did, I have one video. You know why I didn't put it up? It's Biden gaffes cut together. It's 27 minutes. It's just too long. It's just too much. So, and the Biden one, you know, these are different. This is just him, you know, he's written something out and he's not reading it right, or he's not even listening to himself. But the Biden ones are really ridiculous. Remember the poor guy in the wheelchair, the paralyzed guy in the wheelchair?
Oh, yeah.
Where Biden says, stand up, take a bow. Oh, what am I saying? I mean, there are ones where he's looking right at the guy. And it's not where he's reading a speech or anything. Remember the one for the fallen heroes? Ceremony for our fallen heroes, and Biden said, all the fallen heroes, please stand up. I guess he didn't know what fallen heroes meant. So. So what's the deal now? Mayor de Blasio, who is just the most hapless fool, just the most bumbling idiot of a mayor. We've never had anybody so weak, so awful. You know, he's wants to cut funding for the police department. He gives into the mob, whatever the mob wants. He's frightened. He caves in. It's just mayor caving. He's got police all over the place at City Hall because there's protesting all over there. There's video of the police retreating several times as the protesters push the police around. Now, obviously, listen, the NYPD could stop that or control that protest in about 30 seconds. Obviously, they were ordered to retreat. It is the most ridiculous thing we've ever seen. And what do we know about this budget cut? It's supposedly it's an $88 billion budget for next year. Supposedly, there's been $1 billion cut for the police. Some are whispering privately, it's not really $1 billion cut. They're just going to shift some money around. And then others are saying it is a cut, and it'll go to children programs to help children. What do we actually know?
Well, the cuts will affect the police department enforcement of homeless policy and school safety. That theoretically, they fell under the police department.
Okay, listen to this guy. This is the mayor. Listen to this guy. School safety, we don't need that. If you're a parent in New York City, and he's saying school safety, it's a luxury. We don't need that. And if you've walked around New York in the last couple of years, you know the homeless thing is crazy. There's homeless people all over the street, menacing people left and right. First of all, what did you say? It was cutting money for homeless patrolling?
Yeah, police.
I didn't even know we had that.
Homeless enforcement. Yeah, well.
Homeless enforcement. When did we ever have this in the last 4 years? So it'll immediately mean a cut of 1,200 people. That's the next class supposed to graduate. That's canceled. There'll be a couple thousand probably leaving through attrition, may not be replaced. How much longer of this guy? A year and a half? Mm-hmm. Listen, he's he's talking about, we're not cutting the money. We're going to shift it to these wonderful programs that help straighten out our kids and prevent them from becoming criminals. Now, there's some great programs. I love the police athletically. They have worked miracles. They got kids. The probation department hands over kids to the police athletic league. And by the time the police athletic league is done with them, they're joining the police force. We've seen that happen a million times. They've turned lives around. They've taken kids who are bad kids, getting into trouble, and they've gone on to lead these great lives. Now, here's the footnote on that. Here's the little asterisk. The turnaround isn't 2 weeks. It's like 4 years. So it will straighten out kids. It will prevent a lot of kids from becoming criminals. But you got to wait about 4 years to see the results from this. So if your house is getting robbed, you could call the Boys and Girls Club or something. And they'll say, well, get his name. We'll get him into a program. And I promise you, 4 years from now, he won't be robbing you. So, again, these programs do great work. You should contribute to them like crazy. But it's not immediate policing. And black lives matter, white lives matter, everybody's life matters. But everybody's safety matters. We want everybody to be safe. And you can't just defund the police. It would mean more crime in everybody's neighborhood. It's the most. Have you ever heard anything so crazy? Defund the police.
The only thing crazier is they want more cut. This isn't enough.
Yeah. Next thing you know, get rid of the fire department. We don't need that. Let them walk. Why should they have trucks? Let them take the train. I mean, this is just insane. Everybody needs to be safe and protected. Everybody, and this will affect every single person. Hey, check out the webpage. We've got a lot of good stuff up there. Now, this is yesterday. This is Biden's press conference. You know, they have a sign language interpreter. Watch this. The sign language interpreter can't figure out what he's saying. Watch her just freeze. She doesn't know what the hell he's trying to say. Take a look at that. Also, hey, Bill O'Reilly was talking about Black Lives Matter. Now, listen, there are a lot of wonderful people out there protesting for an important principle, things they believe in. But Black Lives Matter, the actual organization, what are they doing with that money? Where's it actually going? Take a look at this. Hey, also, Carl Reiner, what does he want to be remembered for? You know, everybody, when they talk about it, they list all the million big things he did. What does he want to be remembered for? Well, he'll tell you in this video. It's all up on the webpage. Go to 710WOR.com/Mark. 710WOR.com/Mark.
Now you can catch up with what you missed from Mark Simone on demand. Catch his podcasts at 710WOR.com/Mark. Mark Simone.
On the voice of New York.
710WOR.
Well, here it is. The decision has been made. Indoor dining will not begin on Monday as originally planned. No indoor dining starting Monday. I think, Joe Bartlett, are you there? I think we still go to phase three, though, right? That's just the one thing.
So there, eliminating. There are other things. You just can't be indoor.
No indoor dining.
Salons.
Well, that's good. That's important. Listen, we'll live with the outdoor dining for a while. And most restaurants have gotten pretty good spreading tables all over the street. So the nail salons, hair salons, a lot of the stuff will change. We'll go into phase three on Monday, with the exception of the indoor dining that will not begin on Monday. The only thing is a lot of restaurants need that. They can't make enough to pay the bills on just the outdoor tables. It's estimated now, everybody thought about 30 to 35% of the restaurants would not make it. They just can't afford to be closed for 3-4 months and survive. Now the estimate is over 50%, maybe half the restaurants in America will not make it, because it's March, April, May, June. It's like you're going to be 6 months without any income. And if you were just kind of hanging on by a thread, as a lot of restaurants were, you can't survive that. So let's take some calls. Let's go to Tom in Pennsylvania. Tom, how you doing?
I'm well, Mark. How are you doing?
Good.
Good. So, Mark, you know, I'm really sad because, you know, I don't know if you remember, but I moved to PA after I lived in New York City for 30 years. I was a happy.
Well, I can hear the thick New York accent, so I can tell you from.
Yeah. Well, no, but you know what? I lived in New York City longer than I was alive in Chicago. Okay, so
yeah, you got that Chicago accent.
I just wanted to say, I got all my buddies in Brooklyn. I lived in Park Slope, and I just saw it coming. You know, I had two kids in high school there, And it's, I just saw it coming with de Blasio, because you know what? When I moved here in there in 87, I saw Dinkins, right? And then I saw the Renaissance with Giuliani. And then I saw de Blasio, and I'm like, oh, man, this thing's going to turn around and go back to what it was when I first moved to the city that I love so much. And, you know, I'm happy here in northeastern PA, but I honestly, I love Brooklyn. I was there for, you know, like I said, 30 years, man. So I just wanted to share that with you. I mean, it was really to protect my wife and my kids, you know? That's what it ended up
being. All right, thanks for calling, Tom. Yeah, I understand. Yeah, Dinkins. Dinkins was like, looks like General Patton compared to... Mayor de Blasio, Mayor Disastero. This guy is the worst. And don't forget about Governor Cuomo. Listen, I like Governor Cuomo, but boy, you got to blame him for this. Where's the, you know, he's always talking about spikes. Where's the chart for the shooting spike? Murder is up 25%. 63 shootings last week. Where's that chart? You notice that governor, he always, if five people die of coronavirus, he starts crying and doing his funeral director routine. How about something about the 63 people shot last week in New York? How about the murders up 25%? Where's the chart? Where's the tears for that? He's he acts like it's not his problem, like he has nothing to do with it. Look at all the graffiti all over everywhere in New York. That's Andrew Cuomo's New York. And he better wake up and do something about it, because this will be his legacy. Let's go to Vincent in Brooklyn. Hey, Vincent.
Good morning, Mark. Speaking of charts, to combat the fake news, coronavirus paranoia machine, every day the government just should, like, almost kind of like a screensaver or just a chart on the screen, like 12 o'clock, 6, of the people who tested positive for coronavirus, and what most people, Fauci doesn't want you to understand, there's a difference between testing positive and actively coming down with the disease. In Italy, at all the major times on the major news networks, they have a chart that says the new people testing positive, the new people coming down with a disease with symptoms, the people who died, so forth, and so on. That's what they're not doing here. You hear the fake Dr. Fauci come on saying, oh, I'm afraid we're going to have 120,000 new cases a day. That means people testing positive. That doesn't mean people coming down with an active case of the disease. Mark, last week I had a coronavirus test.
Really? What made you get one?
What?
Why would you get one? You weren't sick.
I'm going for surgery next week, and I have to go this Friday.
Wait, getting a bullet removed?
I have to go get a bullet fragment that's moving around. They don't like that.
Yeah.
So anyway, I have to go into town this Friday to get another test, Mark, because they figure 5 days before your surgery, by the time you have your surgery, you'll either come down with the symptoms if you tested positive. That's what people don't understand about this whole restaurant thing. Oh, we can't eat inside, this and that. There's a big difference between testing positive with the swab, or serologically speaking, and coming down with an active case of the disease. Yeah. But these fake news machines, they're not going to tell people that. They want people to stay locked up their houses.
Oh, no, they love everybody locked up. But, hey, Vincent, we got to go because we got to get to the news. But thanks for calling. Good luck with the surgery, too. You know, this is a dream world for Democrats. You're locked down. They'll tell you when you can leave and where you can go. They'll tell you what you can do. They want that mask on. It's a sign of compliance. They like that mask. Anyway, we'll get, Howie Carr will be with us next. We'll see what he thinks about all this. Coming up on 710 WOR. Let's get the latest news. Here's Joe.
Mr. New York.
Mark Simone.
710 WOR.
Well, Howie Carr is one of the great talk show hosts in America. He's a best-selling author, one of our finest columnists. You can get everything at HowieCarrShow.com. Get his books, hear his podcast, hear his show. HowieCarrShow.com. You can also watch him. He's on Newsmax TV, too. Howie Carr, how you doing?
Pretty good. I'm doing better than Joe Biden was doing yesterday at that press conference, I'll tell you that.
Well, that was pretty, you know, he was great at reading that teleprompter. They had picked out who would ask the questions. They had the answers up on the teleprompter. He got through it in one piece.
NBC, NBC Joe. Yeah, all these guys, he knows them so well. You know, and then he forgot the name of his hometown newspaper. I love that one. It took him three tries to come up with the name of his hometown newspaper. Wow. And it's just botching the words too, just over and over again. He called midnight. We put the whole thing. We listened to it, pulled out all this stuff. He was talking about the tweeting, and he said midnight rantings. Only he said midnight rampings. And he said those most at risk. Only he said those mosque at risk. You know, just over and over again. Just totally botching things. He confuses the word and or. I think he was saying something. Searches somehow turned, or searches or seizures turned into scratchings. He just throws the word scratchings into a sentence, and you know, none of these people are saying anything. No one asked him about the Peter Strzok notes. You know, that he supposedly was the one who suggested using the unconstitutional Logan Act to frame Flynn. No questions about that. No questions about Tara Reid. No questions about the riots. No questions about tearing down statues. It was a pretty pathetic performance by both Joe Biden and by the media, the kept media. And then did you notice that the one guy that asked him a real question, Doug McElway from Fox, he called him a lion dog face, not a pony soldier. Though. What happened to the pony soldier, Mark? But he used it to describing the young woman in New Hampshire. He called her a lion dog face pony soldier.
So when they asked him, what would you do to fight coronavirus? What would be your plan? He said, I'd keep Dr. Fauci. I'd work on a vaccine. I'd work on medicines. Why didn't anybody say, but this is all we're doing now? I mean, we have no press, no media, except against Trump. Otherwise, they don't do a thing. They just go to sleep.
I know that the only questions that they asked him were to tee this thing up, like, well, if these reports about the bounties that the Russians offered, which, by the way, have been denied across the board, and there is absolutely zero evidence that this was ever included in any kind of memo. Forget Trump, the lowest level kind of memo. There's nothing there. But if this is true, does it mean that Trump is incompetent or a traitor or both? What do you think, Mr. Vice President? You know, I mean, that was the level that they were at. And you know, the other thing, and they let him lie. He says the president's solution to the coronavirus is to tell people to inject disinfectant. You know, I mean, that worked for about one news cycle until people actually, got called out on it. But he just throws it out there because he knows there's not going to be any pushback from the alt-left media, whatever you want to call them. I mean, it's hard to describe them. They're embarrassing as reporters.
You know that MIT, they've been working on a project of injecting disinfectant into somebody to kill the virus. They've been studying this, apparently, for a couple of years. So it's not so crazy.
And then they said the woman, that woman in Arizona, that just she and her husband, took the fish tank cleanser because they'd had to oxy or chlorine or hydro in its name. And then it turned out that she claimed she took a little and survived, and he took a little and immediately died. And then they did the autopsy, and he'd taken enough to kill 5 or 10 people. And that whole story fell apart. But not even CNN is promoting the fish tank cleaner story anymore. But Joe Biden trotted it out again, or Joe Biden sandwich. You know what's scary though to me, Mark, is, you know, you can tell. I mean, this was just another another indication that Joe Biden doesn't have any control of his faculties. I mean, but the question is, who's going to, if he is elected president, who's going to be calling the shots?
Well, it's a committee of several George Soros type shadowy figures. I think we'll be fine with that.
Yeah, they've done such a good job electing our DAs in the big cities and across the country. A lot of those great DAs in Philadelphia, San Francisco, Chicago. Oh my goodness, Montgomery County, Maryland. I think it's big trouble. Big trouble. I don't know. Are you that worried, Mark?
Well, if you're watching this Bill de Blasio kind of stuff and, cave into the rioters, police retreat, will cut funding by $1 billion for the police department in New York, aren't you worried? I mean, that's playing with fire. That is dangerous.
Yeah. They had a close vote in the Boston City Council to defund the police and, you know, just the overall budget at the start of the fiscal year today. And so it passed 8-5, and the 8 councilors who voted for it, their houses were vandalized. And one guy last week, his house was vandalized. Last week, they were mad at him, the peaceful protesters, as they're called. And they set off a bunch of fireworks at his house, and his fence caught on fire. I mean, that's called arson. And you know, arson, and there were people living in that house, and nothing happens to the people who do it. Really amazing. I mean, it's horrible enough to, you know, vandalize anybody's house, but a city councilor, you know, I mean, an elected official, that's they're being terrorized.
So, listen, you've covered everything there is to cover. You've watched everything. Where is this going to end? How is this the bad cycle we'll come out of?
I'm hoping it's going to be like 68 and, you know, we do come out of it. But I don't know. I don't know where it ends. I hope that there is a silent majority, and there's people seem to be pretty angry about it. But, I'm also concerned about the mail-in voter fraud. I mean, look what happened. Look what's going on down in Paterson, New Jersey. I mean, the Wall Street Journal wrote an editorial about it today. I mean, they had the all mail-in voting, and there was just all kinds of fraud. They arrested, I think, or charging two of the winning candidates for elected office down there. They found, hundreds and hundreds of ballots in the trash. I mean, I think this is really bad. I mean, Barr, the attorney general, keeps complaining and saying that they know there's going to be voter fraud, but I want to know what he's doing about it. You know, it's one thing to go on TV and complain, but what's the plan for stopping this? If I didn't think there was going to be any voter fraud, I wouldn't have too much concern at all. I mean, that's still my big concern. I think there's like a hidden vote, and I think it's bigger than it even was in 2016.
Yeah, absolutely. I hate to say we're out of time, but Howie Carr's website, you should go to howiecarrshow.com. He's got great books, the Kennedy books, all the great books. You can get his podcast, you can get his radio show, you can get his columns, and you always have some great stuff on sale there. What do you have now?
Yeah, we do. We're going to have a good sale starting tomorrow. Well, just go and see what you got there today. There's always good stuff on sale, but tomorrow we'll be selling autographed books and including some of our T-shirts. We got some really nice T-shirts. Proud to be deplorable, free America. Just check it out at HowieCarrShow.com. Click on store. Everything is, as always, Mark, price to move. Thanks for giving me an opportunity to mention it.
Yeah. And get the books. It's really great books. And read his columns and listen to the show. Howie Carr, thanks for being with us.
Okay. Thanks, Mark. Bye-bye. Right,
take care. And everybody check out the webpage. We got some great stuff up there. Watch this. Joe Biden's doing his press conference, his briefing. Now he's got a sign language interpreter. Watch this. The interpreter can't figure out what he's saying. Watch her freeze up. She can't tell what the hell he's saying. Black Lives Matter. Where does the money actually go? People are making contributions. Where does this, what is the actual organization where the money goes? Take a look at this report. Hey, also Carl Reiner. You read the list of accomplishments and things he's done, but what would he want to be remembered for? Well, somebody asked him and he answered the question. Take a look at this. This is the way he wants you to remember him. It's all up on the webpage. Go to 710WOR.com/Mark. 710WOR.com/Mark.